I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
If you think about the Iran war right now, I don't know if your viewers know this, but every single ballistic missile Iran fires at Israel or Saudi or UAE or anybody in between, that's powered by Chinese rocket fuel, number one. Number two, every drone that delivers a strike across the Middle East, including at American military bases, those are components from where? Communist China. And number three, we pushed the Russians out of Afghanistan, then the Soviet Union, by sending the Taliban Stinger missiles,
right.
Knock their aircraft out of the sky. China can do the same thing with a Stinger equivalent called MANPADS, okay? Yeah. Now, China, what we got out of that was they say they're not going to do any of that.
Now, that is White House counselor to the president, Peter Navarro, specifically talking about the Cuban drones they have, and pointing out that they're probably fueled by China or Russia fuel. Of course, we've shut down fuel supplies going into Cuba, and that's trying to put pressure on Cuba. Can it be successful? These drones are just 90 miles off our shore. We're going to get into that in more detail in a moment. In reference to dealing with Iran, President Trump stating today, if I do escalate the war again, restart it, said, I'm trying again for an 11th hour. I'm trying to stop short of having to reopen the shooting and killing. He said, but if I have to do it, it will probably happen sometime early next week. Now, Monday is Memorial Day. So it could well happen on that day or the day after. Now, here's something else to keep in mind. This is a legitimate concern. I want to stress to you, this is not just a concern about how the virus could sweep across our nation. And it's certainly not a replay of COVID with unfactual information. Ebola is an extremely deadly disease based out of Africa. And there have been new reports in the Democratic Republic of Congo, at least 130 dead, and it may be spreading faster. More than 500 others reported sick, and it may have crossed over from the Democratic Republic of Congo to Uganda. Now, President Trump said, I am concerned about this because we don't want to break out beyond the current level. He said, but right now it is confined just to Africa, but we need to be aware of it, which means we should be stepping up surveillance, health testing on anyone coming from that region of the world. But if they come through Europe, we don't really know if they originated in that part of the world. This is a legitimate concern. This is not a political playbook game that we saw from the Democrats regarding COVID, or trying to take the Hunt virus and turn it into another COVID scare. You do not need to be overly alarmed about it, but I want you to be informed about it at this point. Welcome to hour number one, Larry Connors USA. Here we are, May 19, 2026. And as always, with Larry Connors USA, you're going to get, what are you going to get? News, analysis, opinion, and education. You will know more at the end of this hour than you do right now. That's true of every hour. And reminding you, when we're on the air, like right now, you can watch the program. How do you do that? You go to News Talk STL Rumble, Larry Connors USA Rumble, or Facebook. And if you miss anything, you can pull it up as a podcast at News Talk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, and Larry Connors USA Facebook. Let me take a moment to remind you, if you subscribe at LarryConnorsUSA.com, we will drop each program into your mailbox. We need minimum information. We do not share your information, and it does not cost you a dime. It is absolutely free. And then you can spread it around to friends, family, or even your enemies. Make them aware of what we're doing here. You are our multiplying factor, and I thank you for it. In our next hour, Joe Scarborough, MSN Now, previous Republican congressman, saying, I think Trump and the Republicans are suffering on the Latino vote. They're going to lose that. Really? With Jessica Jackson, the granddaughter of Jesse Jackson, says the lies continue about black people not being smart enough to get an ID or vote. She's debunking all of that, and I'm thankful for her. We'll include some of that in this hour as well. And in this hour, the Muslim Brotherhood Sharia threat. It is increasing. They're not trying to be silent about it. They're making it very clear what they want to do on any country they go into. And the question then becomes, are they coming in as, quote, immigrants, legal or illegal, to our country or any other country? And are they coming as immigrants or really as invaders? That'll be coming up as well in the next hour. The story behind the story today, a little bit lighter fare for you. My entrepreneurship in selling spud nuts. Do you know what spud nuts are? Well, you're going to find out. Oh, and by the way, that reminds me, you often hear jokes, and I have a lot of police officers who are friends, but there are a lot of jokes about cops and donuts. There is a historical base for that joke, that jest. That'll be part of our story behind the story as well. And I don't want to make any of my law enforcement friends angry, but we will share that story before we wrap up this hour. Once again, to the concern about Cuba with drones just off our coast.
Tensions between the U.S. and Cuba continue to tighten like a vice grip of words, a Cold War echo with a modern twist now. Attention shifts to the sky. Drones, hundreds of them, according to a new report, possibly 300 drones could attack, it says. Whether they could actually reach South Florida, well, that part isn't clear. This South Florida congressman says, though, he is worried.
I know that some of these drones have ranges up to 1,000 kilometers with payloads up to 200 pounds. That means that just about everything in the state of Florida is inside the range of these drones.
But sometimes possibility is enough to get people's attention. Cuban leader Miguel Diaz-Canel hitting the keys on social media, saying the U.S. is the aggressor and writing Cuba poses no threat and there could be a bloodbath. His words.
And again, as you heard from Peter Navarro, White House counsel earlier, all the Iranian drones and ballistic missiles have been fueled by China and Russia. And he's suggesting the same could be going on with the drones in Cuba. A retired Marine operative, Mike Cirelli, about the drones and these capabilities.
The drones are concerning one sourced by both Russia and Iran. Would Cuba make the fundamental mistake of attacking the United States? It would be their doom. For Cuba, what Trump has done is put them into a position where this regime can fall without a shot fired. We saw Maduro in Venezuela go down. Now Iran, another source of financing and material support for Cuba. They are isolated. The best scenario for them is to play ball or they will lose this regime.
I've actually seen pictures of what they look like, would have the capabilities of penetrating our air defense and actually hitting sovereign American territory. However, it's something you have to take seriously. You know that they have, and there's reports that Iranian, people have come to the country and are teaching them on their technology and how it succeeded in Iran in trying to maintain control of Hormuz and strike U.S. bases. So they're collaborating with our enemies, and they've been collaborating with our enemies, whether it's China or Russia, for decades. Remember that Russia taught Cubans how to spy through KGB training, and that China has been using Cuba as a spy base just 90 miles away.
That is former Miami Mayor Suarez reinforcing how close they are, these drones. Now, again, we continue to try to put pressure on Cuba by cutting off oil and so forth, and basically they have power on maybe 4 hours maximum each day. A former ambassador to Venezuela says these tactics could work, and if Cuba will accept it, things could be reversed. But will they?
Ambassador, Cuba's top diplomat in the U.S. says negotiations between America and Cuba have made, quote, no progress so far. I would assume that at a certain point, Cuba would have to start making some sort of deals if they are just in such bad shape.
One would hope so, but it doesn't mean they have to do it. I mean, they have been stubborn for years. Their economy's been declining for years. Their population is fleeing the country, particularly university grads under 30 years old. They've been in collapse, and they've refused to even do what Vietnam has done in terms of opening the economy. Cuba should be booming. It's not. It's a basket case, and these guys stubbornly have stood up to everything and refused to reform. And my reading of it is because they are simply afraid to do so.
And the people of Cuba are suffering. Those at the top, they're not suffering, but they want the people to suffer. Well, we're going to change that, hopefully. One way or the other. Now, I'm not talking about invading Cuba, but we continue that pressure. The Cuban people, just like those in Iran, are facing some tough decisions, but they're also realizing what the regime in each is doing to them. And we have Islamists, of course, spreading across the world. I'm not talking about Muslims. I'm talking about Islamists. And they're intent on changing our nation. And look at what they've done already in Europe and continue to do. Listen to a guest who appeared on the Eric Daugherty podcast.
Just so we're clear, if a foreigner comes to your country and demands that you accept their culture as your culture or demands that you change your beliefs, that is not a foreigner. That is not an immigrant. What that is an invader. That is someone that is coming over to your space to take over and invade it. So when you sit there and you look at what's happening in New York and in Texas, in the places where these people came from, you look at Somalia, all of these individuals who are being put into a position of power who support this type of invasion, you need to understand what's coming next. They will take away our weapons. They will tell us that we cannot eat certain foods. They will tell us that we cannot go to certain places. They will tell that our women that they have to wear a certain clothes. They will tell them that they have to dress modest. They will force them to do a lot of different things.
He mentioned foods. Now, I want to point something out. Do you know what halal is? That is food that's acceptable to a Muslim in practicing their religion, as kosher is to many Jews. We should not be denying people their religion nor the food that goes with their religion. I'm going to get into that in more detail in the next hour, because there's an interesting twist of something that took place while deporting some Afghans. And I'm against what happened. I'll lay that out for you later. But again, we continue to hear repeatedly from members representing the Muslim Brotherhood what we will do when we get control of your nation.
Now it's getting through Congress. So before it was by the sword, now it's getting themselves into parliament and then making laws that act as the sword, the Islamophobia law in Canada, M103.
Yeah.
Muslim Brotherhood.
I find that there are only two things which are open to our movements. Ballot or bullet, nothing in between.
I used to say that democracy is haram. Now I say participation in democracy is our jihad. That's our jihad. We're going to fight not through the bullets, but the ballots.
Going to the ballot and voting is now an obligatory action, fard ayn. And it is a jihad that is now needs to be done because this is our modern jihad. You can elect a person who wants the Sharia.
Because in the United States, what we do know is that in the past election, just this last election, there have been over 800 Muslim candidates running for office.
We may end up with about 50 members of Congress in the next 6 years. That's really the essence of dismantling the system of injustice, is to replace it with the people who represent the Prophet
ﷺ. What is the injustice the U.S. has against Islam, or actually the Muslim religion? It's fabricated, and it's used in their mind as a weapon to again, destroy America from inside. They are not here trying to assimilate if they are practicing jihadist tactics. There's an Islamist preacher who's been going around, I should say, in an Islamist imam, and what he's basically saying is, again, almost in many words, might be considered treasonous.
We are the messengers of the messenger. We are the representative of this deen of Islam. We have to be the solution. The future is ours. Every ideal nightmare of a Muslim Europe will come true. They can be as mad as they want. I don't care. America will be a Muslim country. Russia will be a Muslim country. Islam will enter every house. We have to be a part of that change. We have to be a part of that da'wah. We have to be a part of those ghuraba who stand firm on our aqidah and our practice and our deen and never ever apologize. We're unapologetic. Never ever compromise. We're uncompromising.
But why didn't you stay in a country where you were support? Why come to the U.S. and try to preach your hate? The suspects, the two 17-year-olds, one 18, I think, 17 and 18, who killed three at the Islamic Center San Diego, it is being identified as a hate crime. They attacked this Islamic Center at San Diego. That is not the answer. And they attacked it on a hate basis, according to the FBI early considerations. It was strictly hate against, what, Muslims in general or Islamists? I don't know, and it's not very clear. We'll be getting into that in more detail. I would remind you, Sandra Cotton did introduce a bill revoking existing visas from close family members of terrorists and prohibit future ones from being obtained. That's because, remember, we found Iranian regime officer Soleimani's niece and grandniece legally living in the U.S. Cotton says we cannot allow that if they're here to cause mayhem and chaos. Coming up every day, every hour, you are losing money to thieves. They might as well be reaching right into your pocket. The facts coming up, plus the story behind the story. Spud Nuts. A little lighter story. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. John, Bill, and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing, and the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Bill. John Bill Roofing. You have a problem? He can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying gesund height, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesund height is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes. The German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
In America, unlike other countries, where they let you die in a ditch, in America, if you're too poor to be sick, we'll pay for your doctor. Isn't that right?
It is.
And and one of the programs we do that through is Medicaid.
Correct.
Okay. And this money for Medicaid, it didn't just fall from heaven. We thank heaven for it, but it came out of people's pockets, didn't it?
Every dime of it.
And some of that money is stolen, isn't it?
Yes.
And the states, not all of them, but many of them, allow it to be stolen, don't they?
Yes.
Yes, they do. And in fact, that is Louisiana Senator John Kennedy and a Senate hearing questioning Acting Attorney General Blanche, talking about all the fraud that takes place with the help of leftist politicians, especially in blue cities and blue states. Right now, I'm looking at a report that California has never repaid its COVID-era loans and is now facing a GOP crackdown over that. Well, there are a lot of blue states that probably have not done that either, but you know, California in particular, this is a big debt. They're just not going to pay it. $21 billion loan, and they're not doing a damn thing to help out. Senator Kennedy referenced California and others.
I mean, California, they're just setting all kind of records. These folks are they're wild people. California's got 12% of the population. In the last 10 years, they're responsible for half of these new so-called health providers to provide exorcisms and other things. Now, what the hell are we doing about it? Why has this gone on for so long?
Senator, listen, it's a great question. And what you just described are programs that are allowed under the program. You have a whole other issue in California where a lot of these folks are just stealing the money, not even running it through for exorcism.
They're thieves, aren't they?
They're thieves, correct, correct.
And California just watches it happen, don't they? Not everybody in California. The government, though, doesn't it?
Well, that's the challenge in a lot of states, is that we don't have a state government, which you all have entrusted to run these programs and take care of the money that you all give them. There's state structures that absolutely do not do any compliance, and they don't do their job.
Because they don't have no incentive to. They're getting free money.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yes. Yeah. I think so. Yes.
We got to change this, General.
We're trying.
I call this a slush fund. You want to talk about slush fund? This is a tier one slush fund that's been going on for years and years and years. Billions, hundreds of billions of dollars is stolen.
And again, California owes $21 billion in COVID money to be sent back, but they haven't done it. They don't have it. And of course, don't forget what's been happening in Minnesota, and now there's evidence of even more theft.
Investigation out of the land of 10,000 lakes at Minnesota. The state's attorney general accusing a violence prevention nonprofit of blowing $6.5 million worth of donations on, wait for it, luxury cars, lavish trips, and even a liquor store. The founder of We Push for Peace is accused of funding his own lavish lifestyle through the charity, apparently spending millions on trips to Vegas and other shopping sprees. The charity's treasurer also accused of transferring $1,000 per week into her own personal account, among other claims.
Why don't we crack down harder? Well, first of all, they've been just letting it happen. Governor Walz had heard repeatedly from whistleblowers, at least five or more had said, we sent warning flares up. We got nothing. But now he's trying to, we're doing things. It is to the old saying, the horse is out of the barn. But we still have you, and I'd like to put you behind bars. And Nick Shirley, one of the independent journalists who's been uncovering this kind of fraud in Minnesota and elsewhere, he says, you know, there's something interesting that you should keep in mind. Here we have Minnesota at the state of this fraud and questions around it, and numerous people have been convicted already. But if you're looking for any kind of response from Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, crickets.
Ilhan Omar.
Is she really out of all of them?
She has been so silent about this fraud mm-hmm. that it speaks so much mm-hmm. as to how involved she is in the fraud.
Mm-hmm.
If she had nothing to do with the fraud, she would be able to defend herself. But instead of defending herself, she's gone completely silent, mm-hmm. not even trying to work with anybody who's exposing the fraud. She knows that billions and billions of dollars has been lost, but she won't even work with investigators, or she won't even work with local media. And she won't even, they gave her a final date to say, give some of the information about the Feeding Our Future fraud that she's involved in. She couldn't give any information. I mean, she technically lost $29 million over the since I exposed her.
$21 million, and she's not saying word one. And Nick Shirley's point, whether you agree with her amount, is, well, she should be saying something. Wouldn't she be saying something like, I had nothing to do with this? She did in the beginning. She's saying, you're trying to pin all this on the Somalia community. Yeah, because follow the money. Or where it went. And it did involve a large part of the Somalian neighborhood, the community inside Minnesota. And Minneapolis has the largest Somalia population in the nation. Does that say all Somalians are thieves? No, it does not. But there is a culture of thievery, and it is passed from generation to generation. Oh, and then, again, when you look at students who really legitimately tried to pay student loans, and, of course, others were crying, bail me out, I need help, I can't pay it. But then there was all this fraud that was taking place. And that's been documented. And now here comes our Education Secretary McMahon says, we also found, get ready for this. Are you listening? She says, we found student loans still being paid out as I speak, going not to students, but to dead people.
I'm really proud of one of the things that we've done, and that is we've just really totally revamped the FAFSA program, which is the applications that students fill out, you know, for student aid as they're going to college. But as like many things in the government, we found that there was a lot of fraud going on, that there were bots that were applying for these loans, there were ghost students, there were dead people who were getting these loans, et cetera. And so we really did enforce and tweak this entire system so that we have this real-time fraud identity now, and it's as simple as showing an ID, you know, online to show who you are when you're applying for these loans. And last year we kept $1 billion of fraud money from going out, and just in the first, you know, 2 weeks of revamping this program this year, we've saved about $60 million. So it's very effective, and I'm very pleased that we are going to be able to save taxpayers, you know, billions of dollars with this identity program.
Oh, I do know that when I was a college student, I never took out a loan, but I do know there are days that I thought I was dead because I wasn't ready for the exam coming that day. But she's talking about dead people getting student loans. In the meantime, feds are looking at vote buying happening in Los Angeles and elsewhere.
At any moment, federal prosecutors in Los Angeles are set to announce major charges in two criminal cases. The first case is against a woman who allegedly paid people, including those who were homeless, on L.A. Skid Row to register to vote. The second case is of an alleged anti-Semitic federal hate crime attack at a Los Angeles synagogue. We'll bring you the newest information on both the charges in those cases the moment that they come out.
Paying money to people on Skid Row to go vote illegally. And of course, do not forget the mantra from the left that blacks are too dumb to get an ID. They can't be voting if you impose those rules. I want you to listen to the granddaughter of Reverend Jesse Jackson, Jessica Jackson.
The reality is this. Black people's voting is not in danger, and you know it's not. And you know it's not. I'm 63 years old. I've been voting since I was 18. I have never had a problem voting. Sitting up here manipulating the Voting Rights Act like something's getting ready to happen to our right to vote, when you know that's not true.
Yep.
So now you all gonna drag black people in here, definitely some senior citizens, and gonna have them come up here and talk about how they scared to vote, how this messed up the right to vote. Women need to vote. All that junk, when you know it's not true. Just like you sit up here and make like black people can't get IDs. Us requiring IDs to vote, it's gonna stop black people from voting. Why black people ain't got IDs? See, you all get more and more ridiculous. To say that black people's voting is done by this Louisiana thing and Donald Trump and the Trump administration fighting for the 14th Amendment. Saying that amendment was for black people.
30 seconds.
Not for birthrights, not for people to anchor themselves over here illegally. And they got y'all black people in here getting ready to talk against him.
She's calling them out for the farce they're pushing. Coming up, the story behind the story.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Early in the evening, just about supper time, over by the courthouse, they're starting to unwind. Four kids on the corner, trying to bring you up. Will it pick the tune out?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
They're not donuts, they're spud nuts, and even employees are hooked. So what exactly is the flavor of a spud nut?
We have potato flour. So there is white and wheat as well, but not as much as the potato flour. That makes it the spud nut, because the spuds, they're not as rich as your regular donut.
It's got some flavor to it.
The potato cinnamon rolls are the best thing down here.
They're number one.
And speaking of numbers, you probably can't guess just how many spud nuts they're cranking out on a daily basis.
200 to 300 dozens on a normal day.
It gets to the point where I don't even smell them anymore.
And that is a guy who fries them. He can't even smell them anymore. Have you ever walked past or been near a bakery shop or a donut shop? And boy, if they're making them in there, you can smell, and you suddenly start salivating. Pavlov's theory does prove true. You end up going in and buying some, probably. Or you walk away thinking, I really want it, but I'm not going to. Going to try to adhere to my diet. But later in the day, you still regret, oh, I should have at least gotten one. The story behind the story today is a little more personal experience, a little lighter. Yesterday, we marked the anniversary of the Mount St. Helens eruption with numerous deaths. Tomorrow, we're going to mark the Joplin tornado that happened later this week, but we're going to mark it tomorrow. So in between those two, I want to give you a little bit lighter fare. Spud nuts came into my life when I was about, 10 plus years old. I was looking for a J-O-B, and there was a spud nut maker that was saying, hey, you can join our legion of boys that go out and try to sell them. And his legion of boys, I think, consisted of two others. But every day I would show up during the summer when I could, and then sometimes after school. But by then it was too late in the day to sell them, so there was no success. And sometimes on weekends. And I'd be given this wire basket I would hang around my neck. It was a large basket. And I could put 25 to 30 bags of spud nuts in there, each bag containing six. They might be all one plain glaze. They might be a cinnamon. They might be a strawberry. They might be chocolate or a mixture. And I'd walk through the streets of Big Spring, Texas, in the downtown district, shouting out, spud nuts, And I had some regular customers along the route, some businesses. And I always knew they wanted certain blends or taste anyway, so I made sure I had those in the back. And when I would sell these out, and I really don't recall what the cost was, and I don't remember how much I made either now that I think of it. And yes, to the IRS, I did not report that income. At the age 10, I didn't report it. But I would take it, I would go back to the shop and get them to reload my baskets so I could go back out and start selling more of them. I got my first recognition in broadcasting as I walked past a radio station. I went into the lobby, seeing if anyone there would want some, and I hear on a speaker that's playing the station inside the lobby. I could hear the DJ, and I could see him on the other side of the glass. Said, "Oh, the Spudnut Boy is here." I was suddenly on radio. I was recognized. It's just little bits of parts of your life that you look back and say, "Yeah, that was not so glorious as I thought it was, but look where it led me." So maybe this whole career is based on Spudnuts. What the dickens are Spudnuts? Before I get into that, you often hear jesting, joking about police officers and, quote, donuts, or cops and donuts. I have a lot of police officer friends, and I hope to still have them when I finish this segment, or I'm going to have to watch my speed a little closer. But the jesting about cops and donuts actually has an historical foundation. Now, I'll explain that before we wrap up the story behind the story. But Spudnuts, as you were hearing, they're not made out of dough. They are potatoes. They are fluffy donuts made basically with mashed potatoes or potato flour instead of wheat flour. And many consider them a crispy exterior, more so than donuts. Then you have a pillowy, moist center. These originated in the 1940s. They are a lighter alternative to the classic donut. There are Spudnut shops in the St. Louis area. Now, I'm not going to start listing them. If I did, I'd leave one out. You can do your own Google search and find one and try them out. I think you'll like them. But at that point in my life, the idea was to get my basket every morning. I'd be there as soon as I could, and I'd go into the streets of the downtown and try to sell. And I normally, within an hour, I could sell out the entire basket of 25, 30 bags. I'd go back and get more. And I often would sell all of those out. If I hadn't sold them all and couldn't get more going by noon, I probably was not going to get much more business that day. You began to realize that folks want them around for the coffee or something in the morning. Normally, lunchtime was about the time that, nah, they're probably not going to want any more for today. But tomorrow was going to be another opportunity for a Spudnut entrepreneur like me. I have no idea how many miles I walked. The basket wasn't heavy. I'm just carrying a fluffy pastry, bags of them. So it wasn't difficult at all, except on the hot summer days in Texas, which, as I will point out, is a redundant phrase. Damn near every summer day in Texas is hot. And then my job was to make sure I got around as quickly as I could, because those that had a frosting on them, like chocolate or vanilla frosting or something of that, and strawberry, you would have issues with the bag when they opened it. It was a mess. But it was a good way for a young boy to earn money. And there were other boys that began to join in. He never got the, quote, legion of boys coming forward to do it, as he was indicating he would. But we were all out there learning the art of sales. And this is an important point for a young person. I already had a bicycle newspaper route. When kids on bicycles would load up saddlebags on the back of their bikes and go around the neighborhoods tossing newspapers. And I got to be really good where I could hit right at the front door. Others didn't care. They'd throw it in the bush. They didn't care. But I wanted to be precise. So I was already, at that point, dealing with adults in a business world because paper route boys also had to go collect the money. And at the end of each month, you had to go to the door and say, here's your bill for this month's newspapers. Well, son, I don't have it. You have to come back next month. And then I got to deal with the newspaper people. Another adult. So a kid at that point is in a great learning curve. How to deal with adults that are going to be, quote, compliant and paying their bills and those who aren't. And in this case, getting people to buy something that maybe they didn't think they should be spending money on, but you're trying to convince them to do so. Spud nuts, same as donuts, only made out of mashed potatoes or potato flour. Now, I mentioned earlier, you often hear stories about cops and donuts. And it's a joke for many, and they'll throw a joke like that at a fellow police officer. Even inside their squad rooms, they do it. But there is a legitimate reason that police officers are often associated with eating donuts. What? What? Oh, yes. There is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
If you really want to get a feel at just how busy it gets, well, you're going to have to set your alarm clock pretty early.
Anywhere between 4 a.m. and 6, we have a line out the door, and those are usually Hanford workers, police officers. Every table's taken. People do wait to sit if every table's taken.
So we roll it out flat, and then we run it through here, and it goes through the roller, and it cuts it.
Yeah, they take about a minute or two. Okay. We kind of eyeball it.
You know, this is a historical place. We've been here for almost 72 years. We hear so many stories.
You've been coming here how long?
About 64 years. We'd spend the whole Saturday in the Uptown Theater as a kid. Get a gallon of root beer, come by here and get a dozen donuts, and back then you could bring your own food in.
So it's been a real memory place for me to be able to share with my kids and then my grandkids.
That is a TV report out of Washington State on a popular spud nut shop. Now, spud nuts are not generally considered healthier than traditional donuts, even though they're using potato flour. Typically deep fried, they are high in sugar, fat, and calories. They should not be considered a health food. And yes, they are not gluten-free, unless they make an intent to do so. Neither, if you have to be told, provides any significant nutrition. But you're going to get a lot of refined carbohydrates and sugar. You wanted that. That was your treat. Now, what about cops and donuts? What started that, quote, jesting remark? Some cops take offense at it. Some don't. Some kid other officers about it. As I said, I've got a lot of police officers, and I hope to still have them when I finish this next little part here. But there is a historical basis for, quote, linking cops to donuts. Now, spud nuts surfaced in 1940s. Donuts were already being turned out everywhere. So in the 1940s, they had the choice between donuts or spud nuts, but basically the same story was donut shops, spud nut shops, were often late at night or early in the morning. This was great for officers on night shifts to get coffee, use restrooms, do paperwork. They were quick, cheap, and often, quite honestly, given to them. And obviously, shop owners liked the presence of a police car parked right out front. So they were more than glad to have officers come in. And the officers would time their breaks to maybe meet together and talk to other officers. You got to remember, in the 1940s, 50s, and even the 60s and into the 70s, you really didn't have a lot of 24-hour convenience stores. In fact, they did not exist at all in the 40s and 50s. Donut shops, spud nut shops, they would have a warm, well-placed to sit, eat, complete paperwork rather than sitting in the patrol car. And as I said, often the shop owners gave free coffee and or donuts to the officers because their car was parked out front. But if they had to go on a mission suddenly, got a call, well, they were easy to grab the donuts to eat while in the patrol car en route to whatever report of a crime they had. And of course, pop culture and media, TV shows, others turn that into a lasting cliche, have they not? Now today, many more officers are more health conscious. You can see that in them. And the cop and donut connection is for many considered as nostalgic, maybe humorous, or maybe not so humorous. I don't like it. But again, there is a basis in fact as to why the cliche of cops and donuts came about. And you probably, for those of you who might be a little younger than me, because I'm not that old, there was a time there were no quick stops, there were no service stations that had all kinds of food available, there was no fast, convenient food drive-through. It just did not exist. If you took a road trip, you had to pack your own sandwiches. Or as Vic Percelli would say, your sandwich. The days of spud nuts. The story behind the story. Reliving memories. Part of what we do here. Every day in the 6 o'clock hour. Some light, more personal, some a little more intense. And that is what we have for tomorrow. This month marks the anniversary of a massive tornado outbreak across the Midwest and the anniversary of the Joplin tornado. That will be our story behind the story tomorrow. We still have a second hour to come up. You don't want to miss that. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law has already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Under Law. .com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.